Welcome to episode 315 of the Women of the Military podcast. This week, my guest is Lindsay Sodoba. Lindsay recently released her memoir, Holding On and Letting Go, and we had a conversation about what it was like to write her memoir and just as a way to give you, if you're considering writing a memoir, some advice and things to think about. But as I was re-listening to this conversation, as I was editing it, I really liked how we touched on how book writing is just one way to tell your story and how any creative outlet, it could be a conversation with a loved one, it could be writing a song, it could be painting a picture, it could be anything creative that gets you, you know, using your hands, using your creativity to share your story and how valuable and important that is. And so I really hope you enjoy this conversation. Lindsay is such an amazing person and she has truly written such a great book. And as a veteran and a military spouse, it really resonated with me just seeing how she was able to find herself, something that I'm currently struggling with a lot. So maybe that's why that theme came out so much. But I really hope that you enjoy this interview, and I highly recommend going out to get her book, Holding On and Letting Go. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Women of the Military. I'm really excited to have Lindsay here. She's my person. Well, we live really far apart. We've never lived in the same place, but we've talked, you know, over international waters and, like, kind of close now, California and Texas. So
We're west together.
Of the Mississippi, yeah. And we were close, but then COVID happened, and that totally ruined that plan. So, but we have known each other for a really long time, and it's been great to have her as, like, my cheerleader as I was doing my book launch, and hopefully I'm doing a good job of cheering her on as her book launch comes up. And so I'm really excited to have Lindsay here. So welcome to the show, Lindsay.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for having me on as a spouse. It's a significant honor to be on your podcast. I know how much work you do to shine a light on women of the military, and to all the women veterans listening, thank you. And thank you, Amanda, because I frequently tell Amanda that her stories, her book, those that come on to share their stories. I have a daughter and I have nieces and I have friends with daughters. And I think of you frequently and the work that you're doing, because while I can't personally guide those ladies towards their decisions, it's lovely to have the resources and the stories to share with them as they embark on their journeys and get older and start thinking about this.
And I've, like, always wanted to have you as a guest, but obviously you're a military spouse. But her book is launching by the time this episode goes live, a few months from now, it'll already be out. I was like, I'd have my copy because I did buy it, but it's not out yet. And so I wanted to bring her on because I read her memoir and we were talking a little bit before, shocking that friends started talking, but we were talking a little bit before about, like, some of the things that I took away from it in her the art of writing memoir. And so many military women I talk to want to share their story. And for me, like, I started working on my memoir, learned how much work it was, and was like, peace out. I'm not going to do that right now. So maybe someday, but not right now. And so I think having a conversation, like, as your book is coming out, because I know that over the last few weeks, we've been talking about, like, the emotions that you're feeling as you share that story. So I felt like there'd be, like, twofold. You can talk about, like, how you wrote it, and then how do you share those, like, vulnerable stories. And so I guess we could start with the, like, beginning of, like, well, let's first, do you want to say the title of your book and what it's about? And then we'll dive into the next part.
That sounds great. Sure. So the title of my book is Holding On and Letting Go, A Life in Motion. And it really encompasses our journey as a military family, but specifically my journey as a spouse. I'm very open and honest with the fact that I wasn't someone that wanted to become a military spouse. I just couldn't see our lives, you know, in tandem working together. When my husband, who I met at 17 years old, joined up in the Marine Corps, I went to college to be a performing arts major, and we made it through the first year, you know, while I was in college and he went to boot camp and all the things. And then after that year, it was just sort of like, I have this dream that I really need to pursue. I went and pursued it. And then long story short, I got the dream. I mean, I went to New York. I was doing these professional contracts. And yet I started to wonder if I had made an error in judgment in thinking that we couldn't work. However, that time apart ended up bringing us closer together in the end. Obviously, we are married now and are coming up on 17 years of marriage this year. So I missed a few of those initial years of his career. I did get to see him like graduate from boot camp and all the things. But the book really covers a trajectory of how to embrace change. How do we hold on and let go to what matters most to us? And knowing that we're a different iteration of ourselves at different duty stations, you know, what you have going on in your life. Like one of the quotes I would frequently hear from friends was like, man, you must be a professional mover at this point. And you're like, yes and no, right? We get used to it. We always know it's going to be stressful. Sometimes I feel like I cringe more as we went along because you just know things are going to go awry. And yet you're always in a different stage every time you move. And then as the spouse trying to recreate or create or find opportunities for myself to continue to pursue the things that I cared about. So in a nutshell, that's it. And writing through, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly of what we encountered.
And I think one of the things you didn't touch on that was like a big theme when I was reading it was how you like found yourself where you were, and you weren't just like, I'm gonna roll over and like let the military you found a way to like continue teaching students instead of performing, and like you never sat back and were like, well, this is my life, I'm just gonna like. And so I mean, you had moments and you shared that in the book, but then you would like find a spark of here, but you like never lost sight of like who you were. And as a veteran, when I left the military, I felt so lost. And it was interesting reading your book as like a military spouse and how you like grew into a new person, but you kept the essence of who you were. And I think it's really hard to do that as both a service member and a spouse, because the military dictates so much of your life. And you were always like, this is who I am. This is what I want to do. And I mean, even in Korea, you were teaching students and you started a program and made things happen. And it was just really interesting to hear about like how your story web, because I didn't know you until I think after you had
your after first. After I had children. So,
Yeah. And so I didn't know like a lot of your dance stuff, and hearing like, I knew that it was there, but it's like, I didn't know the details of like how it webbed through your whole story. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's part of it too. I'm a very creative person. And that is something that I've discovered about myself as military life has continued. Even as my husband, Ryan, I don't know when this will air, but he might be retired by the time this airs. And that's a conversation we've been having, is kind of, he's like, hey, I never had to like start over in the same way that you did. He was like, every time we moved, I had a job and a mission and a role I was filling. He was like, this is the first time in 21 years where I don't really know what I'm doing. And he was like, I'm actually looking at you going, interesting. You know, like my spouse over here has like created all these jobs for herself and, you know, really figured that part of it out. And I think it helps that I have a very creative vein running through me that was like, okay, well, what's available here, right? Like you have to grieve what you let go of from the last place, because it's not coming back. I think that's one of the tricky parts, is you're like, you have to kind of let go of that piece of yourself you were at a previous duty station and how great that was and all these roles you fulfilled there. I mean, a significant one was when we left from California to move to Korea, because moving to California felt like, okay, I'd stepped off the cruise ship job I had. I was a dancer for Carnival. I mean, like, loved that job. And I remember sitting in my final exit interview with them and them being like, you'd be so wonderful on these other ships. And I'm like, yes, but I am married. Like I chose to be married. And now we're going to go figure that part out. And then getting there and being like, well, now what do I do? And then it ended up being this wonderful performing arts studio I was at, and got to be like a competition dance coach for two teams. And then all of a sudden, it's time to move to Korea. And yeah, there was some resentment when we first got there, kind of this like, well, what's here for me now? And yet, like you're saying, I found the things. It just took a long time. I don't want to like gloss over that. It took 9 months for them to do all the clearances I needed to work on base and blah, 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 all of that stuff. But then by the time it kicked off, I was really glad I had used the previous 9 months when I wasn't working to like pop on subways and make friends with the theater community. There was a really big like expatriate theater community in Seoul at the time, and Canadians, French, you know, all these different people that had landed there to teach English at different schools came together to put on theater productions. Like, it, I do believe the things are out there. I just think we either have to have the bandwidth to go pursue them. And at that time, I didn't have kids. So that has changed a little bit, right? Like, what is available to me after I had kids and childcare and all those things. But I do think as a spouse, and even as someone getting out, it's like, you are so capable. We just forget. And people want you to work for them, and want you to bring your skill set to the table. It's just kind of figuring out what that skill set is. I'm still figuring it out. Like, I kept saying when Ryan got out, maybe I'd go back to teach dance on bass. And I don't know if that's the goal yet. I think I'd like to try some other things first. And then if there's space for that, maybe I'll return. It's weird, isn't it? Like, yes. Just got to keep ourselves open, I think, to different versions of ourselves.
Okay, yeah. So now we talked a little bit about the book. I want to talk about, like, how the book came to be, because I know, like, it was years of work to, like, come, you know, like, people always, when people talk to me, they're always like, how quickly did you write your book? And I'm like, oh, it was a very long process. And my process was, like, 3-ish years, I think. And yours, I feel like, was even longer, because it's memoir, it's a lot harder, and you had babies and all the stuff. So, like, can we talk about, like, what the process of, like, getting started was? And
yeah, this is a perfect time to ask me this question, because I was just breaking down, like, the book's timeline on a Substack post. And I think, like, I was calling it, like, releasing the book baby, you know, and it was, like, 39 years to live it, but 7 years to write it. And, you know, 3 more years to work with editors and every on the publisher with it. And, you know, now it's releasing. So yeah, it was a really long process, mainly because I had written as a younger person. I was on a competitive writing team in middle school, and it was something my parents really wanted me to do. And they were like, you're good at this. And I was like, meh, I want to be a dancer. So I did stay on the team. You know, while I was in middle school, I was published in like my first book through the writing competition. But then I set it aside and I really didn't pick it up, except for I've always kept a journal. And it wasn't until I had our daughter, Evelyn, my husband got back from a deployment and was like, hey, you have been with this baby, you know, her whole first year. I would like some time alone with her. I'm going to stick you on a plane to fly from Hawaii to New York City, where my best friend lived. And he was like, I just want you to go be yourself for a minute. So I did. I went, and I remember just walking the streets of New York and being like, wow, I miss being creative. And I can't get like it's really hard to be an after school dance teacher with babysitting, because your hours are from like 4 to 9:30 PM. So I made it through my teaching contract, like with Evelyn on my chest at the studio or whatever, you know, like carrying her around. And then I decided to start writing again, and I wasn't good. I mean, I started a blog, and like, oh my gosh, the things, like when you look back at like your initial things, you're like, wow, I was writing about that. However, that's how we all get started. Like, we have to have the courage to fail and be bad at something and not really even know that we're bad at it. But it was like the blogging boom, right? Like, people were opening blogs up, and Blogger was around, and all of these different spaces you could write in. And so I had like a Blogger blog, and I had it back in Korea too. So, but I was just like posting about adventures while I wasn't working for the 9 months, right? I needed some, like, somewhere to put the stuff that I was doing. So I started working on the actual book though, the idea of it, after we moved to, let me think about this, Ecuador. So in 2019, I had been writing essays. A few of them had been picked up by different military family publications. And I was like, hey, maybe there's something here for me. And maybe I have more than an essay to write. So I did do a one-on-one coaching with a fellow writer named Callie Fayen. She has 2 books out, and I loved her writing style. And she was part of this women's group that I'm still part of online called Exhale Creativity. It's for like mothers and mother artists and writers and photographers and like anybody that's trying to kind of recapture their creative I'm trying to say creativity and creative spirit at the same time. So I started writing, and I would workshop the chapters in these different writing groups and then with Callie. And she like held my hand in such a great way because she made me do a lot of the process part. Like she had me write all my ideas for the book down on note cards and like stick them all over the wall. And I had all these stories. We'd gone on such fascinating adventures, right? A unique part of our military story is that we spent almost 10 years OCONUS, but like not in one place, like bouncing around, like we did 5 back-to-back OCONUS moves. And so we had gone to Thailand and like Cambodia and Spain and like all these neat things that I thought would make a great book. And I'm sure it would have if it had been like a travelogue. However, when you started writing those stories, I was like, it was just a really fun trip to Thailand. Like, does that offer a reader anything? Am I teaching anything? Am I showing anything? Not really. So then I kind of changed it to this idea of home until I wrote 56,000 words that year on this book, that very, like, just a remnant of what was there remains, because I didn't really have a clear idea of what home was. It didn't run all the way through the book, right? Because we have changed home so much. And I honestly see myself kind of as more of a third culture person now, where like home may never be a place for me. It's more nestled in people and like memory and story. Maybe that will change. We'll see. So anyway, 2019, moving to 2020, I find out I'm pregnant with our son and I'm going to propose the book and I'm so excited. And then all of a sudden I'm like, what am I doing? I'm about to have a baby. Like, this isn't a good time to turn a book proposal. I called Ryan. He was still back in Ecuador. I had gone back to the States early and was like, am I being silly? Am I giving up too soon? And he was like, I think you follow your gut. So I did. I pulled the whole thing. They never knew I was ever going to submit it to them. But the very next day, Terry Barnes, who ended up being my editor, messaged me and said, I've been watching your writing online. Would you like to come write for this magazine? So I got like a little toe in the door with my publisher that I have now. And yeah, that was the first start of all the book stuff. I didn't pick it up again until 2022. So that's why it took so long. We say 7 years, but it was 7 years of like working on it and not working on it, working on it and not working on it, and wondering if I had something and not sure, right? But in 2022, we took a trip to Wisconsin. And I don't know if anyone listening here is going to cringe a little bit, but I love Laura Ingalls Wilder and like all the Little House books. And we were up in Wisconsin. I don't know, just seeing the like recreated cabin and kind of going to the museum and seeing like this family's story and this legacy they've left behind. And I was like, maybe I could do this again. Let's try. So within 48 hours, I had made a whole new book proposal that has now become my book. Like, it just needed the right time for it to all fall into place. And by right time, I proposed it, they accepted it, and I still had to write the thing like during a PCS and a knee surgery and all the things that come with being a military family and still having 2 little kids. And not skipping over the hard work. It was a lot of work to get to this place and a lot of like deep diving and digging to get the chapters to where they ended up. And yet the work has been really worth it for me. There was a lot of like healing that came from going through this process.
Yeah, I was thinking about the, like, so many women have told me, well, I have an interesting story. And I'm like, that's not enough. Like, having an interesting, like you said, that was a really cool trip to Thailand. What does it have to do with the book? Like, nothing.
Yeah.
And how you have to find the class that I took, it was called The Third Rail, like that ties the whole book together. You have to have that through line, because if you don't, A, your reader gets lost, and B, it might sound like a really cool story, but for a reader who's reading a story about someone's military experience and there not being a through line, it's really boring. You know, you have to have that theme that it pulls it all together. And without it, it's just, yeah, go ahead.
It's lost. I was going to say the original title I pitched is not what the book is called now. And the reason for that is the publisher actually was like, hey, this isn't what you're doing in every chapter. You know, what you originally want to call it, it isn't what you're doing. Like at the end of every chapter, you're you're holding on and letting go, right? Which is what the book is named. And I don't, I think I was too close to it to be able to see that. Like, I just kept playing with these ideas of change and then I was like, oh yeah, they nailed it. Like, that is what the book is about. Like, every chapter has that element. That is the through line. And I think too, when you're looking at memoir, you're not looking for prescriptive. You're not usually like trying to do like a how-to book. You're sharing your story and pieces of it in hopes that the reader will glean something of their own story. You know, like, I'm really careful when I write to not be like, hey, this is how you should think, or this is how, what I believe you should believe. All I can do is share the truth of my experience, the best I can, in a way that maybe you will find your own truth in there too. Or maybe you won't, right? Like, but relatability, I think, happens when we write as honestly as we can, and find, like you're saying, those threads of our story that link it all together. Like, that's what I've lived currently. You know, somebody was like, if you were to write one now, what would it be? And I'm like, I don't know. I haven't lived it yet. You know, I don't know what I have to say again just yet. All I know is that my military experience as a family member was a cycle of grief and goodness and having to walk this tension. And tension is a hard word, right? But it's also, my dad always says, like, yeah, but Lindsay, if you didn't have tension on a guitar string, like, it wouldn't sound beautiful. And so I think military members and families and those associated with service life can relate to that. Like, there is a beautiful tension to what we all do and how we do it together, right?
Yeah, I felt like you did a really good job of sharing, like, the emotions that you felt, but also leaving enough space for me as the reader to, like, interpret my own feelings. I know that's a really hard thing to do in writing, and you did such a great job of, like, allowing me as the reader to, like, feel how I would feel in that situation, but also know how you felt. I don't know, you just did a great job of doing that. And, like, how do you push yourself? The hardest thing I had was, like, I would be like, I think one time in our writing class that we did, I was like, I was so honest on the page. And you were like, no, you weren't. Right here, you need to tell me, like, what are you hiding? And, like, I was, like, so mad, not at you, but, like, that you could see where I had, like, not. And so, like, how, I think you have to have, like, an editor or a person who, like, tells you that. But, like, how do you push, whereas I was, like, not ready to talk about it, how do you push past that, like, fear of, like, there's things that you don't want to talk about, but then you have to have them for the book to be what it is.
Well, I think the best thing I can share about that is in 2023, when I turned in the manuscript for review and everything, it left off at a chapter called The Fire, which was after, like, something we had endured in Ecuador, and I find out I'm pregnant at the end of that, you know, season of life, and we're headed back to America. Hooray! And it could have ended there. It's a very victorious ending. Like, it's a very, like, we made it! Hooray! But it also felt very inauthentic to me when I read it again. Like, when I revisited it and looked at it, I was like, okay, this just, like, ties it so neatly in a bow. And I can't leave it here, because that isn't what happened. Like, we came back to America to face a high-risk pregnancy with our son and COVID. And I felt very scared to write about COVID. I felt very scared to write about just the fact that I had to go back to counseling. You know, I had kind of had this victory and I felt mentally and emotionally better. And then all of a sudden we're back and I'm not okay. And I'm having to admit that I'm not okay to my husband and get help again. And gosh, just, you want to have the victory. And yet that wasn't the whole truth. So that was the hardest part of the whole story for me to write, were those final, like, three chapters that go through COVID and birthing our son in the middle of this, like, what are we doing in this world time? And yet I'm really proud of myself for facing it. And I guess, how did I write it? Well, I know that every time I write through something, I end up finding some clarity. And I don't want to say peace, because that feels like a very big word to give to this. And I don't want to promise things to people that want to write through their stories and say, like, oh, you're just going to feel so much better. That may not be true. But you may get to pull back and look at yourself from a different angle when you examine your story again. And when you look at everything you've gone through, I felt kind of ashamed of myself from that time. Like the fact that I kind of dropped my pack is what Ryan and I say, you know, like he was finally home, and able to be there for this pregnancy where he was deployed the first time. And I felt like there was so much opportunity for us as a family to bond. And I felt like I was just depressed, you know, like, and was really in kind of a dark place. And yet when I wrote through it again, I could find those glimmers of light. It reminds me of that Barbara Brown Taylor quote, and I'm going to misquote it, but she says something along the lines of, "I have learned things in the darkness I have never learned in the light." And I think that's what it is to write through the hard parts of your story, is you get to see what you learned in the darkness and that it has value. And then whether you choose to want to share that with others is the next step, right? Like in sharing that part of my story, I hope to bring a little hope or a little bit of a reader to be seen in that moment with me. I've met so many women that were pregnant and giving birth during that time too, that have read it and been like, wow, I didn't want to relive any of this. And yet reading it has made me see like, okay, we made it too, right? So that's the offering. It's like you do the hard part and then you can't control how people receive it. So you just do the best you can with it. And then you offer it as a gift and say, here it is. And that is the terrifying. That's like the second terrifying part.
I mean, it's hard to be vulnerable. It's hard to share your story. And there's no guarantee that at the end of it, like, you're going to have a positive response here. So it's really, I mean, so often you hear that things are really positive, but then you also, it's funny, you can get like 100 positive comments and then one person says something and you're like, and you fixate on that and then it can like drag you down. And so you have to like mentally prepare yourself for both the good and the bad and realize like, it's hard. I feel like it's really interesting because in May, I'm focusing on mental health, and like just through a lot of the podcast episodes that I've done this year, mental health seems to be like a really important topic that keeps coming up. And so I don't think that's an accident. And so it's just really interesting that it's coming up again. It's like part of the process and part of why people write their stories is to get, you know, it's one of the ways that you can process. It's not the only way, but it is one of the ways.
It is. Yeah, you're right. One of the exercises I offer when people, you know, even if a friend is stuck, I think I even told you to do this once. And I think it's a therapy technique, but don't quote me on that either, because I am not a therapist or a counselor. But to write something that's hard in your story from the third person perspective, you know, to write yourself as a character, it just offers like a gentle distance for yourself. I did that with that chapter of giving birth to Hunter. I wrote it at first from the third person, and then we switched it back to first just because it felt like I was like physically shaking, trying to work my way through that chapter. And I, you know, I don't want to be like, oh, and miraculously, like then I was healed writing through it. But I do, I feel so much better getting it out and putting it on paper. And then again, deciding whether it was going to be part of the book or not was like the next hard part. But it felt right to have it there. It felt right for it to trickle off and then end where it did end. Because that's the weird part about memoir too, is like you're still living and you're trying to like finish your story while you're, you know, right, still present.
You're like, and the story ends. Don't worry, I'm still alive. Right. It's just this is where I stopped.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, you could have stopped before there and been like, you know, and but you knew it wasn't the right place to stop.
I knew it didn't honor my son too. Like I really wanted to honor his place in all of this. You know, my daughter is in a lot of the book because she's just been here longer, you know, but when it came to Hunter, his the pregnancy with him and his birth like was redeeming for our family in many ways. And I just, it's one of the things that pulled me back to my faith. I mean, there was just a lot of pieces of this puzzle that I felt like needed to come together to be shared. So it doesn't mean other parts of the book weren't hard to write, but as you gain distance from things, I mean, it was hard for me to write young me. I had to do a lot of research on like past journals to be like, what was I thinking, you know, at 20 something years old, and try to capture her as best as I could. Right. So.
Well, and capture her husband, because like yeah. his voice is very important in those first form, like things he said to you that you remembered that, you know, ended up in the book and like how it shaped you.
Yeah, he's such a, that guy, I know. And he gets to, he has read everything. I would offer that too, like for those wanting to write their stories. I was glad that like my publisher had me send out release forms to everyone that's named in the book, which actually was like a lovely process. I mean, I had to like track people down that like weren't on any social media. I had to go through my alumni association at my college. I got like a phone call that came in from Canada of somebody that's working there. And we had like a great hour-long conversation after not seeing each other for years. But then I sent all of those people like the snippets of the book that they were in, and their feedback was great, like in the sense of you were who you thought you were, right? When you had this interaction with them, there was a really lovely like blessing and permission that came from having to do that process. And the same with Ryan and my family and everybody else that is a featured, you know, character, if you will, in this book. They've had their that part of their story read to them, or they've read it. And for them to then say like, yes, that is true. That is what we remember, is a really nice gift, I think, as the author to know, like, I did you justice, right? Like, especially my husband, like, I'm like, it's my story, but you're a huge part of it. And I wanted it to feel right to him too. And the parts of himself he chose to share and his journey as well.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to like when you tell your story, you're also telling someone else's story from your point of view. And so like, you have to be mindful of that when you're doing that. And I'm in a memoir group, and so I've seen the good and the bad and like all sorts of in between. And so that's really important to remember. So if someone was thinking of writing their own story, what advice would you give to them?
Oh gosh, I have so many things written down for this. So I don't know. We'll just go through them like bullet point style, and we can hash them out. I would say we've kind of already talked about it, but I think the first part would be prepared for the work to be hard in ways that you don't expect it to be, as in like emotionally and sometimes physically hard on you to go back, especially if you're writing through trauma or something maybe you're still trying to work and process through. It's a very vulnerable place to put yourself in to write that story down. So I think you decide like, is this the time to do it? And then if it's, and you start and it feels like it's too much or too painful, it's your story. You are always going to have that story. No one else can tell it. I mean, you can get a ghostwriter to help you out and someone that would like walk with you to write it. However, it is your story to tell. And I think there's a lot of urgency in our culture today, right? A like, get it done, get going. But I think the words that we're writing and telling these like great tales of our heart, they just take the time they take. And I think that's kind of counterculture to offer that advice. However, I think good work takes a good amount of time. And for it to turn out maybe the way that you want it, I think you just have to be prepared for it to be challenging and to have like a great amount of, it's a trust fall to write a book. And to try to stick with it, because you might not be getting paid for it for a really long time. So then there's all these questions that linger of like, why am I doing this? You know, I'm taking all this time to write it, and where I had to come at a place with mine before I offered it up for publishing again. And then while I was waiting to see if it would be accepted, and is it going to work out, and all these things, I had a meeting with a really good friend who's also an author. And she was like, Lindsay, if no one picks it up, don't you think you'd still publish this? Like, don't you think you'd print this off for your family? Or don't you think that you'd self-publish this? Like, be honest with yourself. Like, are you going to see it through? Because I think you want to. And when she offered that to me, I was like, yes, you're right. No matter how long this takes, I do want to finish it, right? Like, I want to feel like this is it. And even when you finish it and publish it and do all the things, the writing part, the sitting at my chair, the having trust in myself and learning about the journey and what I went through, that was part of the fun. I really love writing, right? I really love creating things, and it's given me a really different perspective on books, that when you hold them in your hands, that was someone's hours. That was their work that they poured in to what is there on the page. I also think if you're considering writing your story, you have to distinguish, is this a whole book? Do you have a whole book? Do you have 50,000 words on this? Because it could be an essay, right? Or it could be a series that you offer in another way, or could it be a narrative podcast? So I think there's a lot of different forms to get our story out there. We have to kind of pick and choose the right one for us. And then we keep talking about that reader. I think you have to decide, like you were saying about the chapter, and I was sharing about the one, the stories on Thailand. Is there something for a reader in your story? And you don't have to know that right away. I think as you write, you start to figure it out. You can write for you first, but if it's going to become a book, I think you must have your reader in mind, right? Who is this for? And not all the marketing stuff of profiling who's going to pick it up and all those things. That's an important step. But for me, I really love the quote that Stephanie Duncan Smith has offered to the world. She's an acquisitions editor. And I heard her once say in a podcast that she said, "What are you doing to cheer on your readers becoming?" And that has stuck with me the entire time I work on anything now, because I'm okay, I'm writing this. However, why am I writing it? What do I want that person that reads it to glean from me sharing this? Because if I'm thinking of that person, I have a lot more to give than just my own thoughts, I guess. I don't know if that's even the best way to put it, but when I'm thinking of that other person, I'm wanting to put a different energy behind it.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote my book, not memoir, Girl's Guide to Military Service, and it's more of a how-to guide of how to join the military, but I still had an avatar, and it was easier to write to, a 17-year-old girl who's considering joining the military than just a random person. Because then I had the empathy and the compassion and the desire for her to take the book and use it the way that I intended, instead of I'm writing just so you have information about joining the military. There's totally, how you write when you're just giving information, whereas if you're trying to encourage and mentor someone, that changes everything. And so and I think that's what a lot of people do wrong when they try and write a memoir, is they're writing for themselves and they're not writing for the person who's reading it. And memoir is such a tricky, the more you learn about memoir, the more you're let's not touch
that. This is hard. Yeah. There's a connection piece. I think that's exactly what you're saying. There's a connectivity you're searching for as you're working on it. And that's why I said, it takes time to get there. It takes many drafts. You have to be unafraid to clack away at your keyboard and chop down your words and pick apart your sentences. But that all comes after you are brave enough to just get on the page to begin with. I mean, you can't play with anything that's not written down. So it starts there. And I do also tell people, if the blinking cursor feels too much, write it on a notepad. Get away from any of that and just write it down. You can always go back and type it in later. But it is brave. It's hard. And it takes a lot of courage to think that it could be something. But maybe someday, 7 years later, it is. You don't know. I also think it takes a while, because it's you're balancing your life among creating it.
Have you also found, I went through a 3-month, I would say sort of a depression of where I couldn't write. I was so burnt out and I just needed a break. And then I was really hard on myself. And then in the last month, I've got creative again. And now I'll be sitting, yesterday I was sitting in church and I was I have the perfect block post idea. And I was I'm just gonna write the title down right here. And then I really told my, I told my husband, I was I was ready to outline the whole thing and not listen to the sermon, but I didn't do that. But it just and then I'll be listening to it while I'm editing the podcast, and I'll be oh, she said this or I said that, and then I'm that's another blog post. So I have now I have all the topics I want to write on, whereas in January, February, March, I was like, I can't do this. Like, I can't. But you have to, I guess you have to, like, there's seasons when you can write and seasons when you can't, and you kind of have to honor that space.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think if someone says yes and you have someone that's counting on it, there's a different pressure because you, like, have deadlines you have to make. I think when we are kind of looking at the process and how to be creative, we could do a whole nother podcast episode on that. You know it. But I do believe there are, like, seasons of creativity. A really good book on that is Wild Words by Nicole Gulotta. It's not a super long book, but I just love how she breaks down how your creativity kind of ebbs and flows. And we don't have to be scared. Like, I'm about to probably come into a little bit of a desert here. Like, I have been stretching my creative bandwidth now for months, because you don't realize after you write the book, then you're going to have to write, like, a bunch of more words to promote the book. And you're like, wow, I'm tired of words at this moment. And yet there are also things I've learned to do off to the side that nourish me creatively. Like, I'm going to an adult choreography class right now. And it's not a dance class, as in, like, I'm not taking, like, ballet, tap, jazz. You show up and they teach you choreography, and it's like a workout class at the same time. And it's the most fun because it turns my whole brain off. I can't do anything else while I'm there. Like, my phone is away. You're just there with the other people taking the class, having to pay attention so that you can learn the dance moves. And I'm trying to pay attention to other things that do that for me, that when I participate in them, I feel more filled up. This just came to me too. This is all kind of back to how to write the memoir. There are, like, creative things you can do to kind of bring back those memories. You know, like, smell is such a powerful memory motivator, right? Like, there's a lot of places in the book where I'll talk about, like, my mom and the way that, you know, like, when she leaves, she has this lotion she smells. And I actually, like, bought some while I was writing chapters that she was in to bring me kind of, like, bring me those thoughts of my mom. And same with, like, music. If you're going back in time and you're trying to write something, it's really great to listen to music from that time period, right? Like, all those college chapters, I was sure back in, like, the early 2000s, like, just listening to the stuff I would have been listening to, because it kind of brings you back to that place in yourself. And I think that's everything you're saying about developing your story and that creative vein you have is a curiosity. It's like a time to play. Like, it feels like serious hard work, and it is, but it's also time for you to explore. And that's the beautiful part about writing any part of your story down. And whether it gets published or not, you've at least written it down. And that makes it, like, a part of your legacy that you get to hand to a family member or a friend. And then I think it even goes further than that, that you get to maybe touch somebody else with your story. Like, why do we share stories to begin with? It's to communicate with one another. And that's such a powerful medium to be in, right?
And I think one of the things you're touching on is, like, there's so many different tools and processes and ways, because I did take a writing class and they were very much like, this is how you have to write a book. And I've learned in the past year that if someone tells me this is the way you have to do something, I'm like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
That is not the way. Yeah, do not tell me how to do something, because I'm going to break every rule. And so I think that, like, that was why. And I kind of stopped on my memoir journey when I took that class, because I was like, I cannot work in this environment. And they're telling me this is the only way to move forward. And so it's just a reminder, like, maybe you work with someone and it doesn't work. That doesn't mean, like, you should stop. You should keep going. Try different tools.
Yeah. And try different people to work with. No, I love it. I love that so much. I think that's really good to say, because I think, too, we go to seek the help, right? Because we need that extra boost. And, you know, you obviously signed up for that class because you were wanting, like, the extra support. But there's no right or wrong way. I was really freaked out to turn my manuscript in because I had read somewhere, right, that, like, a memoir should be condensed to a shorter period of time in one's life. Okay. Mine covers, like, from I'm 19 till I'm 36. And you're like, is that too long of a time period? According to this one source, it was. Right? Like, according to this one thing I read. But if I had let that one thing dictate how I wrote mine, Well, we wouldn't have it. So it can be done in many ways. I mean, I always love, it's back here on my shelf somewhere, Jacqueline Woodson, her memoir, I think it's considered a memoir, Brown Girl Dreaming. It's poems. Her entire memoir is like a poem, like series of poems. What if she hadn't gone for that? It's like one of my favorite books of all time to read because of the creativity behind it. Or there's another one that she did it in all these like memos and like My Life a Recipe. And it's like a, such a fun, it's called Textbook Amy Rosenthal, I think. We'll have to look it up for like your show notes. But it's such a clever book. And I think we have to trust ourselves with the process a little bit too, to say like, does that feel like me or does that feel like you? And maybe, I mean, look at all the different musicians out there that have essentially created memoirs on a record that sang their story. You know, look at a musical and the way that they've built like a whole world and a life around characters that we become engaged in. I think it is about knowing it's going to be hard, but also being willing to play, and it may not come to anything for a while. And that's hard because I know I want projects that can be done and feel that finale, you know, which is funny to say that because that's a lot of what I've been doing now, like in launch season. And even during the chapter development, I learned sourdough. Okay. And her name is Sally, my sourdough starter. And I think I became obsessed with baking bread during the book writing portion, because there's no finish. There wasn't any finish to the chapter development at that time, right? It was like, I'm just throwing paint on the wall every time I sit down. But when I could get up from my chair and go follow a recipe and it's A, B, C, poof, beautiful loaf, that felt so good to have some projects off to the side that were a completed thing in the middle of working with something that felt so far away at that time. So, you know, I think sometimes we get tunnel vision, like I have to work on my book. But these other creative endeavors you choose to do off to the side, that walk you take, the movie you watch, it all creates a new pathway to keep going on your project. So don't be afraid to take the break. The 3 months.
No, it was great. I needed it. I needed it. It was really hard to realize that I needed it. And then I took it and was like, whoa, I can't do anything. But to give yourself grace. Yeah. And to give yourself side projects, because I did do a lot of gardening and now I have flowers. So,
yeah. And that's filling your cup in a different way. Yeah.
Well, I think that we've talked a lot about, you know, at least to get people started in if they want to write a book and, you know, different avenues. And of course, you can always reach out to me or to Lindsay. I'll have her LinkedIn LinkedIn profile in the show notes so that people can connect with you, because you do help people with developmental writing, and I've taken one of your writing classes and I recommend it. So I want to make sure that you can connect with her there. And so if you're curious about writing a book or want to get started, reach out to both of us, let us know, and who knows what will happen in the future. So I'm really glad we got to do this interview, and I'm really excited for your book to come out. And when you're listening to this, you can go order it. So we'll have it in the show notes so that you can go order it.
Yay. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And those of you that are listening, thank you. And keep supporting Amanda. She's amazing. I'm so proud of her. I just have to plug her all the time about how great she is and the work that she's doing. And for those of you that are interested in your story, you're right. Come after us, because we want to cheer you on.